As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with
Gabe S.
Dunn.
Hello and welcome to Bad with Money, a show about finances and feelings where we don't talk down to you. This is our mailbag episode. I have some stuff to discuss. Okay, so first of all, I appreciate everyone putting up with the influx of ads lately. As you know, I am broke, and so I have been saying, like, okay to some stuff. But a lot of them, as I've said before, are really just because we just, like, sometimes things get through the settings. Like, I know someone left a review saying that there were ads from the Border Patrol, which obviously, you know, guys, that I'm not. For that's like the lowest possible way I could say that I hate it politically. So yeah, I'm not quote unquote for it, which is the bare minimum of what you should say. And so a lot of these ads I don't have a lot of control over. However, I do hear you about the episodes being short, so I will try to make them longer. I do apologize. And there were also positive reviews. I don't want to get bogged down. So this is a nice review from C-Star 858. Can't get enough. I'm not sure why, but I just enjoy Gabe so much. Gabe makes money so much more approachable and engaging. Hey, thanks. Now, again, I do take in the notes about the types of ads and the number of ads. I do hear you. Give me a little bit of grace because I'm trying to build up my money again. Just pretend that you're doing me a favor. But also, look, we'll make the episodes longer. I do apologize. If you listen on Patreon, they are ad-free. The Patreon is Gabe S. Dunn on Patreon, and there's other stuff in there, other writing, other, you know, behind the scenes things, and also completely ad-free episodes. Mailbags also have a video, so you'll see me do the mailbag. Pretty enticing. So this week, I want to dive into the Discord a bit because there's a very interesting conversation happening over there about farming and the costs of farming, and I do want to get into that. However, I'm going to do a very funny... It's not funny. But this is a message on the Discord from Tyler, who I believe I just followed on Instagram, because one of the giveaway incentives for my Seed and Spark, which, by the way, the Seed and Spark, aka movie GoFundMe for my film, which, by the way, I don't have access to any of that money. It goes into the film's bank account, so don't worry about me. But this is all towards my project. Well, that we hit green light on, so we are getting that money. And Tyler, when they donated, got the incentive, because you get like incentives for donating, that I would follow them back on social media and add them to my close friends on Instagram. If you want to join the Patreon at a certain level and then message me, well, we can figure that out. Or if you just want to PayPal or Venmo the movie, I don't know, what was the account? $40 on the Seed and Spark. If you do that, I'll add you. My close friends, let me tell you, is a lot of bitching and moaning and not as sexy as you would hope. But I do enjoy following you guys back. So yeah, let me know. And also, if you don't do Instagram, you do Be Real or something, I'll follow you there. My Be Real is even more unhinged. So this is a message from Tyler. It says, hearing at Gabe Dunn say to Brad Klontz, oh, because Tyler's going back in the discography. So this is an episode I did season one. So it must have been 2016. Hearing Gabe Dunn say to Brad Klontz, who is a financial psychologist, one of the first ones I ever spoke to, yeah, but what if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, Brad? Who cares about any of this? It's so darkly funny now that my husband did, in fact, get hit by a bus in September. Thankfully, he only had a shattered wrist, which is now healed, and he is in occupational therapy. But directly after, we definitely felt like you could get hit by a bus tomorrow, spend all your fucking money. That, I did not think that that's where that was going when I first read it. But then luckily, someone responds very kindly. I'm glad your husband is okay. It's crazy how a scare like that can change your views, hopefully for the better and not too extreme. I got in a car accident where a pickup truck hit me into two other cars. I was also working a stressful job with no backup. I came back to work and milked that for all it was worth, saying, what if I get hit by another truck? What's your plan? When they put me as the sole person on too many projects. They also stopped working on vacations and moved to a less stressful job after that. So, you know, it is that thing where a big moment does change your perspective, but I don't think getting hit by a bus, I don't think Tyler was saying that that made them decide to blow all their money. So that is a slight change in perspective, a slight appreciation for life, but not a reason to just blow through everything. But I do understand the instinct, because didn't I say you get hit by a bus? Didn't I say? And then I would just be like, well, I was right. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. I don't know if you know, but I'm a business myself, and I have to run everything on my own, and it is very difficult, especially to deliver you a product such as this podcast. Luckily, I have Melissa to help me, and we want to keep all the money that we make. So how do we do that? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit from NetSuite. Everything is so expensive. How do I boost performance? How do I pay everyone? How do I cut costs? There you go. You want inventory? You want financial systems in the cloud? You got it, baby. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 I have been using Mint to manage my finances, but bad news, Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There's a better alternative, Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarch.com/badmoney. It is very stressful, confusing, and time-consuming to manage my finances. I try all the apps, as you guys know, and I've just been like flighty with them. They've never stuck. But now I have Monarch and it is easy to use. It has powerful features like collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, product improvements. It's just been really helpful to see everything laid out and especially be able to collaborate if I want to. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Yeah, we've talked about that a lot here. Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Of course, I've been frustrated in the past with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads. So was Monarch. So they built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. We never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring in one place so easy. Like, think about how much you have to do in order to hire someone and how much you have to gather, plus scheduling, plus messaging. Like, if I was looking to hire someone, I would feel that it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish that I could use Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So this is a very interesting conversation that's been happening on the Discord that I want to get into that you guys are fascinated by, which is someone was writing in talking about their father being a farmer. And then we got into this amazing conversation about farming that I want to share some because I think it's really interesting. And if you want to join the Discord, it's the Gabe Dunscord. And there'll be a link in the description of the episode to join because the conversations are really wonderful. And people talk about other stuff there, by the way. You can talk about my other show, Just Between Us. You can talk about my other show, The New Guys. You can also talk about like gender and polyamory. And there's like other, you know, there's like a D&D section. There's places to talk about all kinds of stuff. You don't have to talk about me or my shows. It's just people that are fans of mine. So this person, Kilo, their father is a farmer. So I had a money conversation with my dad, the farmer. He still isn't close to owning the house because he was renting both the house and the 400 acres up until 15 years ago. He was renting it from a distant family member. It was only after they passed that he was able to buy it with a mortgage from the bank and from their descendants. So now he does have a mortgage on it and will pay all of it off in about 15 years, assuming a man in his mid-70s survives that long. He does use the house, the 400 acres, and all the big equipment. There is a lot of tech that goes into having one person take care of 400 acres as collateral for a loan every year to buy all the seed and fuel and consumables, something close to 100K. So if it's a good year, he might make 140K, pay back the loan, and make 40K a year. I'm trying to get him to give me exact figures because people aren't comfortable doing that. So maybe these were theoretical numbers. So this came up in a conversation about how most farmers are borrowing money against their crop and then hoping the crop pays them enough to pay back the loan. So that is kind of a system that is in place that, as you can hear, does not necessarily work. So there was a lot of feelings around this conversation because people were sort of aghast that this was the situation. And then some people knew it was, but were wondering how, you know, how is it possible that farmers can make any sort of living this way? And then someone, Jin, shared an article from The Guardian about why are farmers protesting across the EU and what can the bloc do about it? Food producers say increasing costs, tiny margins, and climate policies leave livelihoods in peril. This is from The Guardian. So yes, this also takes into account the way that farms are run, but climate change is now a brand new, very big factor into how all of this is going down. And there was a protest in Brussels recently where a bunch of tractors rode into the city center and pelted the European Parliament with eggs. Pelted them with eggs because they're really worried about how Berlin is trying to phase out tax breaks on agricultural diesel. So they're trying to balance their budget. And in the Netherlands, there's like a requirement to reduce nitrogen emissions. And farmers are saying that this would basically decimate their profits because you have to get fuel, like this other person, Kilo, said. You have to take out a loan from the bank in order to pay for the fuel. And if the fuel goes up or you don't get tax breaks on the fuel, the margin that you're going to make from your profits is going to get smaller and smaller. So there have been protests all over Europe, Greece, Germany, like they said, Germany, Belgium, Portugal, Poland, France. There was another blockade of tractors in Paris. So this is getting a lot of press in Europe. I'm sure people in Europe have heard about this or know about this in a way that I, an American, had not heard of it. This article says farmers have said they face falling sale prices, rising costs, heavy regulation, powerful and domineering retailers, debt, climate change, and cheap foreign imports, all within an EU agricultural system based on the premise that bigger is better. So you know that, like, you know, the mass production of things does put small farms out of commission. They don't make as much money. I don't know enough about it, but I do wonder if these heavy regulations on farmers is a way to look like they care about climate change or that they are making changes without making changes where it actually matters, where big businesses are dumping oil into the like reservoirs or are causing endless problems with carbon emissions. Meanwhile, let's, you know, go after these small farms. Like, I do wonder if it's kind of a misdirect and it's easier to go after these farms than it is to go after like people who give money to your campaign or like lobbies, for example. Plus, we all know that the price of eggs has gone up, the price of fruit has gone up. And I do wonder if those farmers are not seeing that profit, which it seems like they are not. So then in the Discord, after Jin shared that article, our friend Boring Stephanie says, what changes would make it possible for farmers to not have to live with a perpetual cycle of debt? What do people outside the industry misunderstand the most about farming? And then some people that do have experience with farming said, upfront costs are land, and you may not be able to grow right away if the soil wasn't properly taken care of. Equipment like tractors, wash barns, most farm workers expect room and board, so you need housing for employees, seeds, and fertilizer. You don't actually own the farm automatically, like as this other person was talking about their father renting the farm and then finally being able to buy it back. So you will have to get into debt or apply for grants to pay for what you need to get started, and then hope you can pay off the debt one day with farm profits later. A lot of farmers start by renting land, and I've heard at some very low prices, so that they can show proof of experience and income before they buy the land. So I imagine there's a lot of variance for everything based on the scale of the farming, is what Toe Monkey 4 says. So, I mean, think about the risks. I mean, I guess it's like the risks with any business, but also this is so much risk. And if climate change impacts your farming, like you can't account for, oh, it's going to be a longer freeze, or it's actually much warmer than we thought it was going to be. Like, all of this is getting increasingly scary. And it reminds me, too, of the way that boomers talk about the job market now, where they say, oh, like, just do this one extra thing, or, you know, just do what I did and get a steady job and then work there and get a pension or whatever. It seems like these new farmers are probably renting or trying to buy from older farmers who had a bit more security, although I do imagine farming has never been entirely secure and we rely on them so heavily. And yet this is such a precarious business that I do think maybe it is not the same landscape for these new farmers that it was for who they're buying the land from. Lizard says the US government has grant loan programs, but you have to have work experience to apply and you still need a tractor. Renting can also get squirrely when the owner sells it and doesn't tell the renters, or the renters ignore the sale, and now you're in a years-long feud with your neighbor over stealing their field. And this gets very dicey with, land or with property where you don't have clear lines. Like, I remember when we bought our house in New Jersey that I no longer have access to because of my breakup and that I was bought out of. The line, we had to go down and get the property lines from town hall because we didn't exactly know, because there's no marking as to what land we actually owned or didn't own. There was a plot of land next to us that was owned by the city. And the idea, we were told, the city's never going to use that. The city's never going to want that. You can build on that. It's fine. Just get some permits or don't, but you can build on it. It doesn't matter. The city's never going to want it. And we both were like, there's no way like we'll do that. I mean, we were like, okay, we can put like little garden there maybe, like have room, but there was no way, there was no world in which we would think that, don't worry, we can rely on that the city's not going to ever want to use that land. Even if they never have, even if they say they're not going to, people get into big disputes over land. And we wanted to be very clear on the delineation. And sometimes you aren't. And a lot of people, the delineation doesn't even make sense anymore because things have changed in terms of who's using what, and they never wrote it down or they never got permits. So they could just like wholesale take like an acre of your land if you, and it's not even, well, your quote unquote land. You have to be really, really careful about that. And that's not my instinct. I didn't really want to. I was like, oh, great. We have more room. It's not guaranteed. And the person renting to you might not even know the property lines or might not even know where their land ends and another land begins. So they might not have accurate information. So you really should go get the lines. And the lines probably haven't changed in like, I don't know, decades, but you're not using it the way that it was divvied up, you know, by the town. So just be very careful about that. And then Kilo explained a lot more about farming, which I'll read here because I do think it's very interesting, but we should also probably have a farmer on, or perhaps Kilo. But Kilo says, my great-grandfather was a farmer with a lot of land, probably to the point he had a lot of help. But when his sons got back from World War II and he was trying to get them into farming, they declined. So his daughter's husband, who just got back from World War II also, who had previously only worked as a farmhand, went to help my great-grandfather farm. But then my great-grandfather died of a heart attack on the younger side, like mid-50s. And so my great-grandmother split up the big farm amongst her four kids, who either farmed it or rented it out to others. When my father was in his late 20s and made some money working in the oil field, he moved back to the area. And after discussions with the family owners and current renters, post-harvest, so they had time to finish getting the crops off the land they had planted, he started renting the land, got an FHA loan, think of it as a government program for starting a farm, and began working the same land his grandfather, my great-grandfather, had worked on. How do finances work year to year? You can absolutely get caught in a borrow 100K, make 90K rut for multiple years in a row. Yeah, I bet. Until finally no more credit is extended and those farmers stop farming and go into other lines of work. That's so, my God, we're going to be eating Soylent Green. This is not good. My dad mentioned this happened to a lot of his friends in the 80s and almost to him, and those people moved away from the small town to the big city and got quote-unquote regular jobs. Crop insurance was the best thing he thinks the government has done. He said that for every 35 cents he pays, the government pays 65 cents to keep the program quote-unquote profitable, and they didn't have it in the 80s when it absolutely was needed. He went off on a tangent about how one hailstorm one year absolutely destroyed the cotton crop in a 5-mile wide path that went almost the height of the panhandle of Texas and ruining a lot of farmers and roofs, and how that had been the last straw for a lot of his friends. Climate change, he did say that in the last 15 years, there has been less rainfall than the average, and it has gotten higher temperatures. He said, of course, I can't say why, but it has been how the weather has been different. But not all grim. He went on to say that you absolutely can have a great year where you get a record crop and make tons of money, pay off that big debt you have, and then do something stupid like take out a bigger farm loan and buy a boat. We do not own a boat, so I assume he was talking about someone he knew. He acted like crop insurance, when it paid out, did pay out well. He specifically said it pays out like a slot machine. Okay, I love your dad, Kilo. I love your dad. And he pointed out that being a farmer is like being an entrepreneur. You don't get a consistent paycheck, but you can wildly succeed. And clearly it can be a family business since he eventually bought land from relatives and two of my brothers have talked about taking over the operation once he passes on. So the lesson is be a Nepo baby. I love that that's the lesson we took away from that. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That was like such great inside information and really explained to me this article about why farmers are pelting the government with eggs, but also why they're protesting to begin with. And there is this interesting aspect, too, about each country imposing restrictions on having their own crop go to their own country. So the Polish Farmers Trade Union, for example, said Ukrainian grain should go where it belongs, to the Asian or African markets, not to Europe. Negotiations to conclude a wide-ranging trade deal between the EU and South America have been a target of particular anger, with European farmers unhappy at the prospect of unfair competition in sugar, grain, and meat. So there's kind of all of these regulations in terms of like where certain countries' money can go to buy from outside, what's cheaper. And I can see how that would be very panic-inducing for the people in that country. So there's a lot going on in terms of farming. If you want to look into it, I found a lot of articles about it, and it will impact. Like if you go to the store and you're like, why is this so expensive? I think it's also a pretty good indicator that climate change is real. I get the impression maybe some people don't want to say that because it does indicate that climate change is real. So take that what you will. Okay, when we come back, we'll read some more articles. Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. Oh my gosh. Budgeting is wild. I am trying to make progress every day. I am, as you guys know, like deeply into rebuilding my finances. It is very hard to keep motivated, but I am constantly looking at the numbers, constantly like looking at ways to cut stuff. And I'm looking for new ways to save. And when I do, I can find my financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/badmoney. I have constantly had to deal with overdraft fees my entire life. When I first learned what they were upon getting my first bank account, it was a very rude awakening. I also learned about something when I was writing my book, where a lot of banks take out money from your account in the order that makes you have overdraft fees, which is so unfair. But Chime allows you an overdraft of up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Chime helps you make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees. Over 60,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit. Set up direct deposit into your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Okay, so I actually just had dinner with someone that I met at Sundance who is a film distributor. And he paid for our dinner in cash. And I was intrigued by that because I had not noticed that many people paying in cash in a while, especially now that you can just like tap your card, which is very dangerous. And so I was talking to him about it and I was asking him, he's an older guy, and I was asking him about it. And he told me that he was actually doing what we call the envelope method, which the envelope method is a method of budgeting that you hear talked about a lot, but I have not ran into anyone actually using it or who told me about them using it. And the envelope method is basically you take three envelopes and you put money into them like per day. So it's like, you know, you get your money in cash. You get like, let's say you think per week you want to spend $250. So you put the money, you spread it out over the 5 or 7 days of the week. And then like how much you would get each day, or I guess you use a number that is divisible by 5 by 7 if you want. And then you put some at the end of the week as like emergency money. And then each day you only take the cash that you have. And this guy was saying he took all of his credit cards out of, you know, out of Uber, out of Postmates, out of all of that. He does carry one credit card with him in case of a big emergency, but he just has the cash that he has for that day. He doesn't even have a debit card. And then when he runs out of money, that's it. There's no more. He was saying that that has kept him, like he had a big amount of debt and this helped him pay off the debt. Like literally he has the money in envelopes and he was like, look, I spent this money on going out to dinner with you. Now I go home and I don't go out, or I go home and I, you know, if I'm hungry later, I make something. And he was saying, I don't want you to think of this as restricting me. He's like, if you did this challenge, you would find it freeing. I'm not so much interested in the savings dollars system, but I am wondering, has anyone listening ever done the daily envelope method? And do you think that's something I should try doing? Because right now I'm actually doing a thing where I'm not using credit cards. Like I'm using one credit card, but all my other credit cards are on auto pay for like one thing. And then I'm not using them. And I'm trying to only operate with my debit card just while I figure stuff out. And so I'm wondering, have you ever used this envelope method that my friend that I went to dinner with was telling me about? Do you think it's something I should try? Let me know. Okay, for those of you that listened to our episode that I think probably already came out or maybe is about to come out, we're about to do an episode about credit scores. It's going to be with Monique White, and I'm really excited because we already did the interview. And it's all about credit scores 101. Anything you guys want to ask about credit scores, you could also email us at gabeisbadwithmoney@gmail.com to ask any further questions about credit scores, because we're going to have, you know, I think we're going to do some Q&A stuff with some of our prior guests in case you have follow-up questions. So there's a retirement woman that's coming on named Ann Lester, and also Monique, who's doing credit. So if you have any questions about those in the vein of our boring Stephanie episodes, write in and we'll have them back on to answer these very quote unquote obvious questions. This is an article from CNBC saying that credit card delinquencies surged in 2023, indicating financial stress. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. Insert the gif of Phoebe from Friends going, this is brand new information. This is the New York Fed who gave this information. Pretty obvious. Credit card delinquencies surged more than 50% as total consumer debt swelled to $17.5 trillion. Total debt rose by $212 billion in the quarter, a 1.2% increase quarterly and about 3.6% from a year ago. So we talked about this with our former guest, and it'll come up more, but credit cards are used for good in the sense of, like I said, gay icon, the points guy, but they are also extremely predatory. And it doesn't, you know, it's very obvious. It feels like a very obvious article to say that credit card delinquencies are up. And I feel like what they categorize as serious delinquency is 90 days or more past due. And I feel like because this is so obvious, because it's like after everything we've gone through, Trump, pandemic, like all of this economic downturn, housing crisis, housing prices rising to probably another crisis, I can see how people would use credit cards and say, well, it doesn't matter. What does it matter? I'm never going to pay this back. Who cares? I just want to live my life. I just want to be able to have my mortgage and my auto loan. Although those delinquencies do have a lot more consequences. I mean, I wouldn't say more, but credit cards is less of a consequence in your life than if you default on like a mortgage or an auto loan. But I do see why people wouldn't pay. There's nihilism inherent in what's going on in our world right now. I'll throw war into that. Just all kinds of death happening around us being streamed on our devices. And then also, you know, it's an indication that there wasn't enough fed back into the economy or given to people post all of this. I mean, again, like this is something where the government could step in and forgive all of this. They won't. Because the credit cards have very big lobbies. But, you know, it's just one of those things that doesn't need to happen, doesn't make sense. Like, or just forgive it. Who cares? It's trillions of dollars. Like, who cares? I feel like this is similar to forgiving student loans where it would just inject so much money into the economy. We're just now seeing the very real reverberating consequences from March 2020. And the ways in which there was nothing in place to get out in front of a pandemic or an epidemic. There was nothing in place for a catastrophic weather event, a catastrophic, you know, unforeseen event, let's say like a pandemic. There was just nothing in place. You know, of course that happened in the wake of that. But then also think about how many people bought houses during the pandemic. They bought a house because they didn't know what was going to happen. I'm one of them. You buy a house in some remote area thinking, well, I don't know. I can't live in the epicenter of doom that Seattle or New York City became. And then it's like, you know, well, now people are calling you back in. There's no more remote work. We haven't worked things out to fit around the way that everybody bought these houses. And it's just trying to go back to normal in a situation that needs to be completely rethought based on what people did for 3 years. Anyway, that's a rant. Let me know if this is something that you've been thinking about, or if you bought a house during the height of the pandemic, or, you know, you're seeing an increase in your own credit card debt. Did you have problems with an auto loan? All of this will be actually talked about a bit in our episode with Monique, if it already came out or if it is coming out. But in the meantime, I would love to hear about anything that I spoke about that's happening in your life. The more reviews that we get on Apple and Spotify, and the more letters that come in, even voice memos, I miss hearing you guys' voices, the more we have to talk about on the show, and the more indication that I have of what kind of episodes you want me to do, right? Like the farming, all the farming information, that leads me to know that you guys want a farming episode. So like write in and it'll dictate sort of what the episodes focus on or are about, or what you've been thinking about, or what your interests are. Obviously, a lot of these episodes have been about how I'm feeling about things in my life that don't even really necessarily have to do with money, such as my like newfound deep dive into codependency. But it turns out it actually does have to do with money, because you can be codependent with your work. So if there's other like broader philosophical ideas you have, I do love hearing about them, because I do think a lot of them dovetail with money in a way that we could talk about. And let me know if you're also obsessed with codependency right now as a concept. So write into gabeisbadwithmoney@gmail.com or leave a voice memo. Follow me at Gabe S. Dunn or at BWM Pod on Instagram. And if you don't want to hear ads, join the Patreon, Gabe S. Dunn on Patreon. Let me know what other stuff you'd want me to put up there. I put other writing or photos and stuff, but let me know if there's something else you want besides that and ad-free episodes, and I'll see about doing it. Okay, love you guys. Bye. Bad with Money with Gabe Shane Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual. Produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions. Edited by Diane King. Post-production sound by Coco Lorenz. And music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, as sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.